Welcome to Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and I am your host. Thank you, folks, for joining us this week on Building the Bakken Radio, the most trusted energy brand in the Bakken today. Building the Bakken is not a political program, rather an informational brand. No polarizing talks, just conversations about facts of the energy industry. Building the Bakken is about the people, the community, and the industry, those who are involved with the evolution of the Bakken oil field and the oil and gas industry. On today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio, we talk with Jeff Simon from the Western Dakota Energy Association about their upcoming annual meeting. Plus, Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, he talks about his new position with the New Energy America. Also, William Prentice, CEO of Davis Refinery and Meridian Energy Group, gives us an update about they're hitting their marks and the permit should be coming any day or week now. Construction in Bellefield, North Dakota might be right around the corner on the new Davis Refinery. William Prentice, CEO of Meridian Energy Group, a little bit later on in the program. Stephen Hines, an energy columnist, Dr. Stephen Hines, with our weekly word, embracing fracking. Some communities are, while others are dealing with the politics involved. And Sam Cook, managing editor with the Oil Man magazine, talks about how low oil prices have created an opportunity for companies to integrate new technology into their day-to-day activities. All that plus much more on today's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab.
Well, I was 2 years old when John Lennon died. Well, I was 23 when George said goodbye.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Jeff Simon, Executive Director for the Western Dakota Energy Association.
Topics are going to be about, so just kind of what's the overview to get people, in case they got a pen and paper, they want to write it down for the annual meeting coming up?
It's actually November 1 and 2, November 1st and 2nd, and it will be at the Grand Dakota, or the Ramada Grand Dakota Lodge in Dickinson, which is just north of the interstate exit there, November 1st and 2nd. We're going to start out this year with a social. Typically, we've had a one-day meeting. We're going to have a little social get-together and perhaps a trade show if that comes together. The opening evening, 5:30, is when we're going to start the first evening, and then we'll have a full day's agenda the next day.
And what kind of speakers are you anticipating this year, and or topics are you going to be discussing?
Well, during the opening social, we expect Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford, you know, the former mayor of Watford City, will be kind of giving a few remarks from the governor's office, speaking on behalf of Governor Burgum. And we'll also have Cal Coolin talking about Highway 85 and the Theodore Roosevelt Expressway that evening. Just kind of a lighthearted program, not anything too heavy. And then the following day, we're kind of heavy into technology and I'll say, you know, the issues of the day in terms of the legislature. We've got a panel discussion on refracs and secondary oil recovery, you know, optimizing oil recovery. That's really kind of what the Bakken is all about. We heard the governor talk about that. In order to compete, you know, out here in the Bakken, we're transportation impaired. We're far from the market and far from the refineries. So through innovation, the producers in the Bakken have come up with better recovery techniques, figuring out how to do it better, cheaper, faster, you know. So that's a lot of what we're going to talk about initially. That's first off the program. And then we also have a presentation from Dr. Mike Holmes, who represents the Lignite Research Council, kind of filling us in on the latest in coal research. There are some very promising technology possibilities out there in terms of carbon dioxide reuse. Not just capture, but figuring out ways to reuse it. There's a project looking for rare earth elements in coal, which, you know, they're in every bit of electronics we've got these days. So that's a real promising possibility. And then we're going to talk about legislative issues, too. Senator Wardner will kind of give an overview of the interim. We've got a Hub City study underway again, looking at the proper level of funding for the oil-impacted communities, as well as an education funding panel. We've got the chairman of the Education Funding Committee, a member of it, Senator David Rust from Tioga, and then one of the superintendents impacted by that, Leslie Bieber from Alexander, will be on that panel as well, which will be, by the way, moderated by one of our board members, Dr. Steve Holen, who's the superintendent in Watford City. And then, oh my gosh, I'm not even to the noon hour yet. We've got two keynotes over the noon hour. Mark Fox from MHA Nation has agreed to join us and will deliver a keynote, as well as Dr. Thomas Mitzel from Dickinson State University is going to give us an overview of things that are going on at DSU and how it fits into the, basically how it's providing a workforce for the energy industry, I think, is where we'll see his conversation directed. And in the afternoon, we're going to provide everyone an update on load pass permits. That's the truck permit system operated by our association, managing overweight, over-length vehicles in the oil-producing counties. And then, traditionally, the meeting will conclude with remarks from Lynn Helms, the Department of Mineral Resources, kind of giving his overview of oil production and maybe, kind of a market outlook as well. So a full day, for sure.
Yeah, some of them I click on, some of them I just kind of read that introductory paragraph. It's one of my favorite newsletters because it's actually structured in a way I like it. And I think a lot of people out there would like it too, because you give enough information, and then if they want more, they can go get more. Plus, that's, I think, maybe where I knew about the annual meeting. So where can people sign up for your newsletter?
They can do so right on our website. If you go to ndenergy.org, as in North Dakota Energy, ndenergy.org. There's a link to the newsletter on there. Just click on the news section. It'll take you to the newsletter. And there's always, once you find the, we maintain an archive of the newsletters online, I think. They're from the current time up back till December of last year. So you can kind of catch up on 8 or 9 months worth of energy news. Just click on the newsletter. There's a subscribe option in there, and you can do it, or you can just check out our website every week, because it's there every week as well.
To listen to the full-length interview with Jeff Simon, Executive Director for the Western Dakota Energy Association, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And please follow our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/thecrudelife. Listen to us on iTunes as well. Search The Crude Life. New and free downloads every single week on iTunes. Search for The Crude Life on iTunes.
Last, if you don't take off your mask, when the outside's chilly, the inside is warm, you've been wishing you never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Roger Johnson, the president of the National Farmers Union.
You attribute that to, because it was kind of a Hatfield-McCoy before then, where they didn't really like ethanol, but they seemed to be a little bit more accepting to that. What helped bridge that gap between traditional oil and new renewables?
Well, I think the first big thing that happened was a number of years ago when the ethanol industry was really sort of beginning to come into its own. And that happened to coincide with some information that had come to light about MTBEs and their, which were used as oxygen enhancers in the gasoline. And it turned out that they were carcinogenic, that they were polluting some of the groundwater supplies, and so the industry, really, the refining industry, needed to make a choice, and it was: do you continue using these products that are that don't have the same environmental profile as ethanol, or do you move to ethanol as the oxygenate in gasoline? And that decision became pretty easy when there were a number of lawsuits that were filed, and it was, liability issues on the oil companies really loomed pretty large. And there was this clean option that quickly became available. And so I think that was embraced fairly quickly. I think now, given that ethanol is, about 10% of the total gasoline supply in this country, we're sort of at another inflection point where there are folks like us who would argue we would like to see increasingly larger amounts of renewable fuels in this fuel supply. And then there are folks, sort of the hardcore folks in some of the traditional petroleum attitude, if you will, that are resisting that. But I think we're going to continue to see it. We should see it. It will stretch our supplies. It will increase sort of the economic environment, improve that as we go to ever-increasing blend rates of ethanol into gasoline. It cleans up the air. It increases the oxygen content, which is what you more and more, you need more and more octane in these high efficiency engines that are being developed in order to meet clean air standards and the CAFE standards. So I think you're going to continue to see this conversion or convergence of the two sectors, Jason.
Roger Johnson, president of National Farmers Union, joins advisory board of New Energy America, talking about just kind of the ag energy relationship and how it's really, I guess, ramped up the transition or the coexistence over the last decade. And one of the things I wanted to ask you too about, you brought up quite a few reasons that there is this coexistence now, but and even the diversification of big oil's traditional, fossil fuel to renewable portfolio, whether it be wind or biofuels. How much of this is driven by technology and the creation of new jobs out of this whole thing, too, in terms of both sides really embracing? Because whether it be an engineer or some white-collar position can probably, kill two birds with one stone by bringing in this clean technology together. Sure. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
I do, and it is a particularly important issue in the agricultural sector right now, because the sort of the economic stress that I talked about earlier, is this was really what led to a lot of the development from sort of the supply side push, if you will, a couple decades ago when ethanol was just sort of coming into its own. It was for the same reason. We had very low prices. We had low profitability. We're coming out of a very difficult economic environment for farmers. And your government policies were becoming increasingly less supportive of farmers for price supports. And so there was this move to use up some of these excess stocks that we had of corn and of soybeans too for biodiesel, and that led to more and more economic development out in areas of the country where the oil industry maybe wasn't. And then what you really saw, which I think was kind of neat, is you saw sort of the coal development of some of this. Close to my farm in McLean County, North Dakota, you actually had the co-location of an ethanol facility alongside a coal plant. And using some of the efficiencies of both to produce ethanol. So a lot of those sort of synergies that I think you're talking about increasingly were becoming developed. And that's a good thing. You know, that's good for all of us. If you increase, if you want to talk more about the coal, you know, the piece of the renewable sector that's playing into coal now is really both wind and solar for electrical generation. And the piece that plays into the petroleum industry tends more to be the biofuels because that's liquid transportation fuel.
Anything that we need to cover still? Anything that we need to reiterate? Kind of final thoughts on your new position as an advisory role for New Energy America?
You know, I would just say that I'm really looking forward to it. I think we have got to be continuing to look decades out instead of just months or years out. And we've got a lot of problems that need to be resolved in this country and in this world. And folks that can take sort of the really long-term look, I think the long-term outlook for renewables in particular, and as they play into the agricultural sector, are that long-term outlook is really quite positive. And that's what I was asked to sit on this advisory committee specifically to represent. It's to sort of take the agricultural perspective as a number of us are advising this this New Energy America group that was created. So I'm really pleased to have this position because, this is something I've believed in for a long, long while myself, and it's something that Farmers Union has long supported, the development of all kinds of renewable energy sources. So it's a really good fit.
To listen to the full-length interview with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Building the Bakken Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/thecrudelife. facebook.com/thecrudelife. My name is Jason Spies. This is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
I'm glad I don't live too far away. With the moonlight shining on my walk home, I'm breathing in cold, they're exhaling smoke. So quiet I can hear it all. And I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm choking with the people that.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, about the Davis Refinery coming to Belfield, North Dakota.
The comments are positive. The economic development, the stability of jobs, the fact that, you know, the flower shops and the coffee shops and the restaurants are going to have more people and more families and more employees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing that usually does come up is this emissions, if you will. We'll call it emissions. And I've talked to the Department of Health. I've talked to Terry O'Clair at the Department of Health. And there hasn't seemed to have been any issues that they've told me about, and they have no reason to lie to me. You guys have talked to me about the synthetic miner source. I've talked to your engineers from SEH to Zia Engineers, and so far, I mean, the message seems to be pretty good, but yet there's still that 1% out there that seems to constantly bring that up. And to me, I don't know how to communicate to them. I don't know if the scrutiny is even deserved. Are you getting this too, or am I out on an island on this?
Well, yeah, if you don't mind a somewhat lengthy answer, it is an interesting subject. Because when we first we filed our initial air quality permit application with the Department of Health in October of 2016, that 1% of people who didn't really believe that we could be a minor source was more like 99% of the people we talked to just didn't believe it. And the fact is, you know, you go with an entire industry trying not to have to spend too much money on upgrades and so forth, and kind of getting by, the history in refining has been one of relatively high pollution. And air quality has been the major issue in most refineries around the country. There hasn't been a major refinery built in 40 years, so we have the advantage over everybody in the industry of starting with an empty field and a blank sheet of paper, and we can do whatever we want. So why not build the cleanest refinery in the world? Why not take the last 40 years of advances in technology within hydrocarbon processing, information technology, machining technology? All of these things can go into making a project much more efficient and much better designed. And at a very fundamental level, pollution is really inefficiency and poor design. In a project that's 60 years old, you're stuck with the way things had to be built 60 years ago. But even simple things like pipe flanges can be done to such a high degree of exactitude right now that leaks are relatively non-existent compared to a pipe flange installed in a refinery 50 years ago. So all of this adds up to the ability to dial down the amount of emissions from every single aspect of the refinery. And the net result, a year ago, when we added up our first series of emissions inventories on the initial designs, we ourselves were shocked at the degree to which we could push this down. And when we figured out that we could do things a certain way and make this a synthetic minor source, we were overjoyed. We think this is going to change the industry. Then we began the process of working with the Department of Health, and they were very skeptical that we could do this. And it's been, 10 months now that we've been working with them. And in the process of coming up with answers to every single one of their questions, we have spent an enormous amount of money on additional engineering, far greater than you would normally expect to spend on engineering for a project at this stage. But as a result, we have a much stronger project. Based partially on the interaction with the Department of Health, we made major design changes in the second phase of the refinery early this year. And as a result of those design changes, we submitted a revised application in April to the Department of Health. That gave rise to another wave of questions and responses. And during the course of this past 10 months, we've managed to make believers out of nearly everyone that we're dealing with.
To listen to the full-length interview with William Prentice, the CEO of Meridian Energy Group, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Now, with Hatch Coaching, you'll experience extreme transparency. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. By choosing Hatch Coaching, you're going to gain the knowledge and tools that will take your business to that next level. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Make sure you call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946. That's 701-318-4946. Or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch. It's time for your company to create wealth and abundance too. Reserve Eric Hatch today. Now time for the Weekly Word with Professor Stephen Hines, energy columnist and owner of the Word Merchant. What are you hearing in, as far as just fracking in general in some of these other communities? You know, I was starting to hear down in the Delaware Basin that there's some rumblings down there with fracking. What are you hearing?
Actually, they have a three-state committee that deals with the Delaware Basin, and they had their first vote yesterday about whether they're going to ban fracking or not. And they are. At least that's their first vote. Now, it's interesting, there's a five-member panel. There were three in favor of banning, one that wasn't, and one abstained. So my guess, you know, it's just one of those things that looks like another example of being over-politicized right now, instead of taking a more practical approach. I mean, in some ways, Ohio is... has started a whole chain of new gas-burning power plants. They're located very closely near natural gas pipelines, and yet there's still a little battle. And Ohio, by the way, is sitting on a bunch of natural gas and tight oil, and they're just starting to do it. So, you know, it's really hard. You almost need a playbook to see who's doing what to who. Because nothing is going to go straight, as far as I can tell right now, in spite of the success of North Dakota and the Permian, and arguably the Marcellus, although they're fighting battles every day against anti-fracking groups, and you know, small clusters of people are trying to avoid either fracking or pipeline. Somehow that's become synonymous with fracking, which is an entirely different issue. But it's all been lumped together. That's really part of the problem, is that the large, let's say the major media is trying to tell a very complex story in 1,000 words. And they are not very well informed themselves. So what you end up with is, I don't know, can I say this out loud, pablum for people who are looking to understand, you know, what's going on with energy in the United States.
So you brought up it's all kind of grouped together. That brought me to how...
There was a couple stories. I think I even sent one to you from the Washington Post. And again, it's going back to trying to... what can we... with a story really about Chevron and... But they were ignoring, you know, this goes back to the...
For more information on Professor Stephen Hines, the word merchant, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, for his contact information. That's our website, thecrudelife.com, for links to Professor Stephen Hines's contact information. And that was Professor Stephen Hines with The Weekly Word.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Sam Cook, the managing editor for the Oil Man magazine.
Like, you know, it's like power generation and even pipelines and stuff like that, and some of the technology that's actually involved in that as well. As well as the politics that are involved in that, because there are a lot of politics involved in all aspects of the oil industry, but particularly in downstream, I think the politics of that tends to actually get more attention than anything else. All the protests that are usually involved in things like oil pipelines and that kind of stuff.
One of the things about technology that we've found on our programs is that there is a little bit of an informational gap as far as teaching old dog new tricks, if you will, an acceptance or kind of a lost in translation with some of the bringing the oil and gas up to the 21st century. In fact, one gentleman on my program last week flat out said it's time for oil and gas to start using 21st century technology in the 21st century, meaning they're still using old technology. Are you finding that with some of the stories that you're uncovering? Is there a little bit of an issue with the older generation embracing technology? Are they doing it more, or is there still a little bit of a pushback, I guess?
Well, there's a little bit of pushback, but actually what we're kind of finding is that because of the low oil prices, a lot of companies are kind of embracing technology in that a lot of it actually is able to lower operating costs across the board. And that's, that hasn't always been necessary when oil prices were high, but, at $50 a barrel, it becomes necessary in order to survive. So a lot of them are actually finding ways to, integrate technology into their operations that actually are helping them save money. Our feature is actually kind of focusing on kind of like the materials that are now being used, particularly thermoplastics parts in both the construction of different, necessary stressed parts that are in the oil industry, but also in the pipeline. One of the interesting things we found is that most oil pipelines used to be made of, things you may have steel and iron, but those ones are not, they don't have a particularly long shelf life, and a lot of the oil spills that we get reported in the news these days are actually not new pipelines, they're old ones that are just finally giving away. So they're kind of replacing a lot of the old pipelines in the U.S. with new, more durable plastics, and that's really important and having a big impact on, will have a big impact in the future on the safety of the pipeline system. But also, just in general, there's just a lot of technology involved in the whole process of bringing the prices down, which is actually really good.
You mentioned bringing the prices down, obviously, and that's one of the key phrases that oil and gas companies like to hear, and they try to do as well. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the technology and the savings. Going back 5, 6, 7 years, a lot of the technology companies, one of their biggest complaints was they were untested, they were unproven, they were a science experiment, if you will. Fast forward to today. It sounds to me, and I'm hearing this more and more, and kind of what you just explained validated it, at least in my mind, so I wanted to double check. It seems to me like a lot of these technological companies now have data, now have savings, now have those types of informationals that oil and gas companies are looking for, and now it's really starting to really take off a lot faster than I think people understand. Am I kind of hearing that too?
Yeah, no, what you're seeing is definitely the case. I think we had an issue a couple of months back about the kind of big data and its role in the oil and gas industry. But big data has been kind of really important in kind of verifying the importance of a lot of these new technologies that we're seeing kind of being implemented across the different aspects of the oil and gas industry. Prior to big data collection, and then also the necessary processing power to actually do something with all those numbers, it's just impossible to actually figure out what's going on. But now that we have the tools, the computer processing power and the data collection tools and the data analyzing tools, we're kind of really starting to see just the impact that different technologies can have on making things cheaper for everyone.
Sam Cook, managing editor of the Oil Man magazine. Of course, you can always check them out online. Oil Man Mag. Is it oilmanmagazine.com? Is that the website?
Yeah, that's our website.
Okay, oilmanmagazine.com. And check out their past articles, like the one Sam Cook just mentioned. Name a couple other stories that you guys are going to be talking about here in the issue that's currently on the newsstands right now.
We have some general news, kind of forward, but we also have a couple of issues, articles that are focused specifically on different aspects of technology as it relates to oil and gas industry. It's going to be a really tech-focused issue.
To listen to the full-length interview with Sam Cook, the managing editor for Oil Man Magazine, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. To find out more about the Moody River Band or their music, visit our website, thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musician tab. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. If you have any questions on oil, gas, or the Bakken, or any other energy development question, feel free to email the program at jason@thecrudelife.com. That's jason@thecrudelife.com. And feel free to like our Facebook page as well. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. That's facebook.com/buildingthebakken. Like us on Facebook today. And that concludes this week's episode of Building the Bakken Radio. Building the Bakken will be back next week at this time on this radio station. For a full list of our media affiliates, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. Building the Bakken would also like to thank its sponsors, MBI Energy Services, cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. For more information on MBI Energy Services or to check out their latest job offerings, visit mbienergyservices.com. That's mbienergyservices.com. Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty's in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Eric Hatch team may not sell real estate in your community, but they can be a resource and a connection for you. Give them a call today at 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. The Lodge at Deadwood. The next time you're planning a conference, wedding, or weekend getaway, consider the Lodge at Deadwood. For more information, visit deadwoodlodge.com. That's deadwoodlodge.com. That's the Lodge at Deadwood, located in the beautiful Black Hills. And from the staff at Building the Bakken, my name is Jason Spies. We're asking you to be safe, be happy, and make it a great day. Thank you, folks, for joining us. We'll see you next week.
We're kind of like that. We're kind of like that. Oh, yeah.
Let me take a moment to talk to you about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching. Eric Hatch has built an empire on the business of helping others, and in this case, that means helping companies create wealth and abundance. Eric Hatch speaks on workplace culture, honesty in the workplace, transparency, faith, compassionate capitalism, and many other topics that will grow your business. Call and reserve Eric Hatch today, 701-318-4946, or I'll tell you what, send me an email, jason@thecrudelife.com, and I'll make sure that it gets to Eric Hatch.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. Learn more at mbienergyservices.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.